Take your Bibles, please, and now turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 32. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I have been looking forward to this. Lord, it's your message. I pray that whoever it is meant for, that they will receive it, embrace it, stand to it. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'll never forget it. We flew in to Coimbatore. After flying 5 million hours, I'm telling you, it was quite the trip. And like I've said before, I do not sleep on an airplane. I praise God, my wife, she slept much better than I thought she would. But we were ragged. Oh, my soul, we were ragged. And we got into Coimbatore, and nobody's there. And so, praise God, used WhatsApp, got a hold of Cherian's wife. And after 40, 45 minutes, they were able to come and pick us up at the airport. It was so good to see him. Just, you talk about a godly man. So we got to the motel that I showed you last week, took showers, hit the sack, and basically slept for 12 hours. And it just felt good. Now, we were still going to have to get used to things. So, I got my Bible out there in what was morning there, early in the morning, and started reading my Bible, and for my Old Testament, I was in 2 Chronicles. And I started reading this, if you would join me, 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 1. After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah, and encamped against the fenced cities, and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains, which were without the city, and they did help him. So there were gathered much people together, who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken, and raised it up to the towers and another wall without, and repaired Millo in the city of David, and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them, saying, now listen carefully, please. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. Now catch that. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Now listen. Listen to what happens. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. I went, wait a minute. I have read that, I'm sure, hundreds of times. But the Lord used that time to just stop this guy in his tracks and say, wake up, Rogers. There's something I want you to see. And he did. I thought, you know, I've read this in the Kings. And it was different, a little bit different. I've got to do some cross-referencing here. Now, you know, those of you who've been reading or reading your Bibles regularly, you can see the difference when it comes to Kings and Chronicles. Kings was written by a priest, and it focused primarily on the kings on both sides, Judah and Israel. The Chronicles are basically focused on Judah and not so much political as the kings. They're written by a prophet, and we're not going to go into that detail right now, but there was an uplifting of the work of God there. Now, it's in Kings as well, but there was nuances here that were different. Take your Bibles and go to 2 Kings chapter 18. Now, we're not going to read the whole thing here. We're going to go to the same man. The same man, Hezekiah. Hezekiah becomes king. He's a good man. 2 Kings 18, verse 3, it says, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, break the images, cut down the groves, and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Can you imagine? This thing is beyond an antique. How God used that in a great way in Israel's history, but because it was being misused, he took it and went whack and destroyed it. He says, we're not going to do this. We're worshiping our God. And he was right. Let's continue. Look, if you would please, to verse 13. Now, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent unto the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me. That which thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. Now we got a problem. The man that we see in 2 Chronicles, we're catching an earlier sight of him. He's responding in the flesh. He's not the man yet that we read about where he said, hey, with them is an arm of flesh, with us it's the arm of God. He's not there yet. He's got to grow. Y'all listening? Let's catch this here, please. Let's catch this. Let's move on. Look at verse 16. No, excuse me, verse 17. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabasiris and Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah with the great host against Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. And when they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the temple pool, which is in the highway of the fuller's field. And basically, they started after the king and the people and their God, berating them, belittling them, mocking them. And it was not easy because they were able to speak in the Hebrew tongue, and everybody could hear what the man was saying, the man with this army behind him. But what had happened is he had said, Hezekiah, Don't listen to what he's saying. Look at chapter 19, verse 1. After all the wretchedness, we're going to destroy you. God told me to destroy you. It's your sins. You know, look what Hezekiah has done. And it came to pass when Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord. Now, again, let's catch this picture. Here's Hezekiah. He's being a good king, but there's more he needs to know. He's being godly to a point, but there is a way that God wants to stretch him, grow him, build him, because there's going to be a need. Amen? Okay. So they go to Amos. They go to Isaiah, the son of Amos. And he comes to them and he says, let me tell you what the Lord says. Now that is key. That is important. Now there was back and forth again, situation where they needed growth. He needed Hezekiah. Skip ahead in chapter 19 to verse 14. We're going to see some of that preparation, that vision and growth that takes place with Hezekiah. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down your ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Have you ever been in a position where you've got to go to God like that? I mean, it's rough. I mean, you're going to God, you are looking for help. You're looking for strength. You're looking for God to do something in you, to you, through you. Lord, the enemy is here now. Lord, we need help now. And Lord, I'm king. These people need to hear from their king what their God has done and is doing. You know, those times aren't easy. Those times when, right, quite honestly, right at that moment, you are so pressed, you don't have an answer. You know what God has done in time past, but oh mercy, do you need to grow into it now? You. Because the onus is on you. Are we still together? Don't think this is just for a king. By the way, don't think this is just for a pastor. Go back to, again, chapter 19, verse 20, 2 Kings. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah saying, there comes the time, God speaks, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. Look at verse 21. This is the word that the Lord hath spoken concerning him. And I would encourage you to take the time to go through and see what God had prepared for that king, for that army. I'm talking about the wicked ones. But now skip ahead, if you would, to verse 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead. All dead corpses. But again, this is fascinating. When it comes to all this, go back, if you would please, to 2 Chronicles. When it comes to all this, this is all you read in 2 Chronicles. Go to chapter 32, chapter 32, 2 Chronicles. Look at verse 20. And for this cause, Hezekiah the king, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, prayed and cried to heaven. And the Lord sent an angel, which cut off all the mighty men of valor, and the leaders and the captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him there with the sword. It's amazing how God knows exactly how he's going to deal with his enemies. By the way, our God knows exactly how he's going to deal with his enemies today. We don't have to beg and plead. We can rejoice, and it's all in his timing. But for right now, again, if you would please, there, go to verse 8 again, 2 Chronicles 32. With him, he said, is an arm of flesh. But with us, is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. You know, I read that and I got excited. I thought, man, I don't know exactly where I was going to wind up taking it, but I thought, you know, I can't wait to get back home and preach this. And I've been waiting for that since we left. And then here came Cherian and took us to the campus. And he said, oh, by the way, the pastor that was going to be preaching tonight can't make it due to a family situation. You're preaching tonight. I had four messages with me. I already knew the two for sure that I was going to preach, but I had other two that I've enjoyed. It wasn't them. God said, what I gave you this morning, that wilt thou speak. I was absolutely stunned because God so used it. And even beyond that, he used it as a segue. Each time I got up and I preached, the first message I preached is one of my favorites, Philippians 1:6. And it was such a good segue into that, as you'll see here in just a moment. And then the next one that I preached was Demas. By the way, boy, did I really touch on something. Dr. Bob III was preaching right after me. What I did not know was his grandfather, Dr. Bob Sr., and if you've never heard him, you know, a tape recording or something of him preach, let me tell you something. That guy, he could preach the cover off the ball. I mean, he just, and his one of his, sadly, favorite things to preach was on Demas. Because there were so many that were going out of the university and immediately, or almost immediately, they were compromising. There were movements that were afoot. And by the way, it's still happening today. And I'm watching young people from Bible colleges, good Bible colleges, that are just going right into it. This is going to cost God's people as the Lord tarries. So Dr. Bob III got up. praise God, you know, Dr. Bob sat down. And we sang, and then he gets up and he says, half of you are going to be Demas's. Dr. Bob, could we be a little more encouraging right now? But boy, he used it. He used it as a segue. But here's the point that I'm trying to make. Here was Hezekiah. There was growth that was needed. Ralph, I'm going to borrow you. Can you come on up? Okay. Could you stand right here, sir? Okay. Brothers and sisters, I want to introduce you to Isaiah. He represents God's word. Now, right here, Cary Granby, would you please come on up? Now, y'all laughing, but you know, you don't know who's going to wind up here. Now, right here. And you say, that's Hezekiah. Not necessarily. Well, he's that's the preacher. Not necessarily.
Hezekiah was better looking.
When I need you to say something, I'll ask you. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. Are you saved? No. Come on, let's not play any games. Are you saved?
Yes.
You're in church, right?
Yes.
People know that you're in church. You study your Bible. You have devotions, right? You do that, guess what? You're standing right here. Because there are people that will look to you. Sometimes it's hard. You don't have the answer right away. Katya, could you come here, please? Stephanie, could you come here? Christine Woods, could you come here and stand right here? You know, I praise God for these three. This lady has cancer. She needs answers. She needs prayer. She needs somebody to look her in the eye and say, "Thus saith the Lord." See this young lady right here? Did you know that this last week was Sean's birthday? She came to me several weeks ago and she said, "Okay, Pastor, what's the plan?" We haven't had a full conversation on that yet. But she's looking for somebody who looks to the Word of God to turn to her and say, "Listen, thus saith the Lord." See this young lady right here? I praise God for her. Now, I don't, you know, she and I haven't talked. I'm not sure exactly where she's at right now, but I do know this, she's in church. And I praise God for that. We're talking about a single mom who seeks to do right. She has taken stands you don't know about and you don't need to know about. But praise God for courage. But meanwhile, she needs somebody, somebody that will turn and say, "Listen, this is what I just read in Scripture. Thus saith the Lord." That's what the key is. I've read, and you know something? God blessed with this. It doesn't matter. Brother Reyes, come on up. Brother Tequila, come on up. Now, I'm not trying to get laughs out of this. I'm really not. And stand right here. You know, preachers can't be everywhere. I have been dying the last week and a half. I am so embarrassed about going into Resurrection Sunday, and I'm exhausted. There was so much I wanted to do. Sometimes the preacher's not around, but somebody who's been reading their Bible, who's been submitting to the Word of God, who has been looking and saying, "Praise God, thus saith the Lord," like Hezekiah, can look at the people and say, "Hey, guess what? With them is an arm of flesh, but with us is the God of heaven." You know why? You know why that's important? Because these people need to know that kind of answer, because they might be exhausted themselves spiritually. And what they need is to be able to look to a man of God or a woman of God. They need to be able to look and rest themselves in what somebody has discovered about what God said. And they think, if he saw it, I can see it too. If God spoke to him, it's true. Wham! There it is. I'm looking at these young people. They're getting ready to go out to places where their lives are at stake. They don't need to listen to an old white American, you know, that isn't going to go through what they're going to go through. But what they need to hear is, "Thus saith the Lord," and they can rest themselves in the words of God. And a preacher who was seeking to know what God said This isn't the preacher's job, although the preacher better be on it. Preacher better be on it. But this is everybody who comes in to a house of God, who studies, who prays, who submits, says, Lord, I'm not worthy, but I want your truth. Now, question. You know what sometimes it's like to get here? You wind up going through some things that Hezekiah went through. You wind up going up against the hard times, the times of difficulty. And it's easy just to walk away. Oh, somebody else will give them answers. That's not what a man or a woman of God does. I just finished reading the book of Job. And after coming through this, I saw it in even a greater light. That man of God went through so much, but came out with so much because God had taught him so much. And here we are in our situation. There are things I believe that are kind of come down in months, not years, months. And we're going to wonder what in the world has happened. I'll tell you what has happened. God, in his infinite wisdom and strength and power and might and love and judgment, is going to move. Preacher, what's going on? Carrie, what's going on? Brother Reyes, what's going on? Hey, thus saith the Lord. When somebody comes and says, hey, what's the plan now, preacher? You know, I can't do anything for the hurt, but there is one thing I can do. I can bring the promises of God, just like with this lady and this young lady that we've prayed for. She doesn't know how much I've prayed that God would send her a godly man. We need the man in the middle who's listening to him, who's listening to the word of God. Thank you. I appreciate it. Remember when the Bible says that Hezekiah and his people took their clothes and they rent them? Boy, that shows a whole lot to go through. There is sometimes you feel like you're just, there's nowhere else to go. There is. God always makes a way. So there might be the tough times, but God is faithful. Will not allow you to go beyond that which you're going through, you know, to take you down. But he will, with the temptation, with the trial, make a way to escape. And he will strengthen thee and help thee because he's God. Don't walk away from being the person in the middle, man or woman. You've got a calling. You're here. You've trusted Christ. You read your Bible. Somebody could be looking at you this week. Oh, they go to church. I'll ask them.